whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And happy Friday, Kansas City. Please drive safe as we have more snow. Shocker. I'm ready for swim trunks, flip-flops, Coronas, and lime.
I told Mac this morning because I picked him up again.
Aww.
And it's just safe that way. Like, there's no way he was getting out of that used car parking lot he calls a driveway at his house this morning.
Is it that big?
No, it's not big at all. It's just got like 17 cars parked in it, and Max was the one parked furthest down, so you'd have to move like everybody's car, even for him to get out in the morning. So went by and picked him up today, and I told him in the car.
Did he ride in the back seat again?
He did. I said, he said, Jeeves? And I said, yes, driving Mr. Mac.
Oh, that's cool.
But no, it's easier that way. Be safe and everything. But I told him this morning, I said, look, I'm ready to go. I'm done.
You were like, I'm done. I'm over it.
Over this snow. Schools are out today again. Olathe, Overland Park, at least Summit's closed. They've been closed all week. Blue Springs closed all week. Shawnee Mission closed now. We've got Blue Valley closed now. So everybody's shut it down after one day back. I don't know what was worse. Missouri just shutting it down for the week or everybody going back for one day yesterday, because pickup was a treat yesterday as well. So be careful out there. I didn't think the roads were great this morning. You thought they were a little bit better than I did, Dusty. But then we look up on TV, and my God, if you would have left the house 5 minutes later today, you wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, there was a pretty nasty wreck on 435, right by, what'd you say, 103rd
and 435, on the Missouri side. Yeah, bad.
I definitely passed it, because I came over the hill, and what it looks like you're driving the Millennium Falcon with all the snow coming at your windshield.
Mm-hmm.
I started seeing, road flares, the MoDOT sign, or the truck that says, get over. There's, a blockage on the exit, and I was like, that's not good. That's when they're doing this. It's never good. And then, you told me there was, unfortunately, a fatality over there.
Two, I think, is what it said this morning. Damn. So, 435, right, just kind of west of the triangle. That is a disaster area right now, so stay away if you can. Yeah, just be safe. Go slow. I received a text this morning from our friend Rob Maloney. He goes, what's going on? How are the roads? I'm like, they're not great, man. They're just not. So, for all you wondering why, again, school's canceled and all that kind of stuff, the roads just weren't great. And the snow's supposed to kind of continue on until about 8 o'clock this morning. Or something, they said. So just hunker down again and kind of wait this thing.
Eight.
Is it going to dissipate by 8? Is that what they're saying now? Okay, cool. So, just kind of hunker down, hang out, and get drunk and listen to us and watch us on the YouTube channel or whatever you want to do this morning.
Yeah, you can do that. You can go to YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter. It's on there now, both of our faces. Bob's got his festive scarf on, rocking his Ohio State sweatshirt.
That's
ready
right
for the game
Big
tonight.
Big game tonight. Let's go.
How tight are Skark's pants going to be tonight? Guaranteed skin tight.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, skin tight gray with a white Texas quarter zip on.
He'll look good, man.
Stole my outfit.
He will look good on the sidelines tonight. Him and Ryan Day, both big games for them, obviously. And last night, my goodness, I didn't get home till the second half started.
Perfect.
Last
That's
night
all
in
you
that
needed.
Game. And it really was all I needed, obviously. I mean, that second half last night was as fantastic a football game. And I texted you. Mm-hmm. I go, I love games like this where I don't have a rooting interest. And Dusty's like, let's go to overtime, right?
Yeah.
And we almost did last night.
Yeah, I cheeked that. I was like, overtime, here we go. And then it was like, inside slant, interception, James Franklin, puke, fraud, fire him.
1-15 now against AP top 25 teams.
Fired!
I'd like to know how many other coaches have similar records. What's Ryan Day's record against top 25? What's Sark's record against top 25 teams? I bet when you start to kind of, pull it all out and try to see what everybody's record is against top 25 teams, I bet there's very few coaches that have really great records against top 25 teams. But 1-15, man, that's pretty brutal, isn't it? 1-15 against top 25 teams? Whew!
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a conversation to be had in the offices at Penn State with James Franklin, because that was a very interesting way to end the game last night. You had total control. Mm-hmm. You go to overtime. College, I think it's just, at least in my opinion, Mac, you can help me with this because you're super analytical as well, but you're guaranteed in college football to get the ball in overtime.
Yes.
You're just guaranteed to get it. And I know getting the ball second is, I think, kind of an advantage in college football.
Do you think so? I go back and forth based on the results of the game I'm watching.
Because you can react. At least you have a react. Because like if they get a field goal, you're like, all right, we at least just need three. But if we get a touchdown, we win.
Yeah.
Whereas like if you go first and you get a field goal, you're biting your fingernails on the sideline.
Yeah. So think of it like that Chiefs Super Bowl last year. Getting that ball second, right?
Yep.
Do you want the ball second? Okay.
You know what you need.
Great analogy. Now I understand better. That's perfect.
Yeah. Right. And they had the ball with 40 seconds left?
Or 48 seconds left or something like that.
They ran an over-the-middle inside slant, and the sophomore from St. Louis, as they said, got the interception for Notre Dame.
Great pick. Mm-hmm.
And that quarterback, you could just tell immediately, was like disheveled. He was just like completely energy sucked out of him. And then Notre Dame, three plays, kneel it, get it to the middle. Derek Jeter's kicks a field goal.
I mean, that guy's pretty damn good. Like, college kickers, for the most part, are ass.
Well, did you see Notre Dame was the worst college kicking team when he was out, and then they became the best when he came back?
Yeah, it was wild.
Like, amazing, dude.
Yeah, like, he had a bad groin injury, and the old man in the crowd, you know, I love the crowd shots of the parents and the fathers watching, you know, the game and videotaping.
Yeah, had it this way.
Had it the long way, right? Like, grandpa, and he kicks the field goal, and it goes through, and they win, and he lets it record for a little bit longer, then you could see him hit the stop button and then start hugging all his buddies in the crowd. I'm like, that's cool, man. That's what being a dad's all about, seeing your kids do well and having that fun and having successes. And there was no more successes that you could have had than Jeter last night kicking that through. But I guess he had a groin injury. His dad's a chiropractor, and they said
doctor.
Yeah, exactly. He worked out the groin injury, you know, doing some magic by cracking the back and got the guy ready to go. And yeah, I heard that as well last night. I was like, wow, that's a huge swing right there to go from the worst to the best. And that was one of, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be because I usually am, but I think that was one of two players that Notre Dame got in the transfer portal, and that's all they've gotten in the transfer portal was their quarterback and their kicker.
And how that, and how'd it work?
Wonderfully, right?
Good job.
Wonderfully. Because their quarterback was with Duke last year, and the kicker was with South Carolina. And they said those are the only two guys so far that Notre Dame has used the transfer portal on. Boy, that's good GMing, right? Well, we only drafted Mahomes and Travis Kelce and whatever else. You hit a home run on those. So Notre Dame going 2-for-2 in the transfer portal.
Yeah, Harrison Butker, practice squad player. Thanks, Carolina. Other news that we got before we dive into the show, the game officially moved to Arizona. The game that we're talking about is the Rams versus Minnesota. They're not going to play in L.A., obviously, with everything that's going on over there. But they are going to play that game in Arizona now. I don't know how much that shifts. We talked to Alex Gold about it yesterday. If you missed it, check out the podcast. He said it shouldn't really fluctuate the line that much, obviously, because he said the key point is the Rams play there once a year. So it's still not really their home field, but it's like they have more – I don't know.
It's still a disruption to the schedule, though.
Oh, sure.
And you're a team that worked hard all year, got home field advantage, and now you have to travel on the road.
If I was the Rams, I'd leave now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they've already jetted town. And, well, but also, too, though, I mean, J.J. Redick's house burned down in this fire. I don't know if you guys saw that.
The Lakers fired him?
Yeah. So it's really like how many of these players and coaches are being personally first person affected by
Steve
these
Kerr
fires
as well,
too.
Wasn't it his mom and his mom's house?
Oh, I didn't see that one too. Really,
I thought you sent us something where you're like, you said something like, "There's like thanks Steve" or something like that. But
it was Steve Kerr saying, "Yeah, he was." I forget what he was.
But
talking
I thought he
about.
Said that he was at his mom's house like 2 weeks ago, and now that house is no longer there.
I missed that part.
Or it just missed. It was something like that. But yeah, it was interesting.
So it was like, you know, so a lot of these guys could be losing their homes or families and whatnot. So do you leave? When do you leave? Like, because if you leave, then you're taking all these folks away from their family in a time where you probably need everybody around to kind of get through this mess that's going on in California. But it's the right thing to do. And, you know, we were talking about the air quality of stuff. But for me, what really is security. How can you put on an NFL game and have security and EMS and all that stuff at an NFL game in Los Angeles when the city is burning? You just can't do that. And so that's why you ultimately move this game, because of how many security and police officers and EMTs and all the stuff it takes to put on an NFL game. Could you imagine if they used first responders at an NFL game instead of out there fighting the fires, what the blowback would be, you know, for the NFL? So it's the right thing to do, because the resources just aren't there right now to put on an NFL game, and that's why you have to move it. Air quality obviously bad, what's going on terrible, But you need security, you need police officers, you need EMTs, you need first responders at every game. And if those guys are standing around at a football game and not, you know, helping the fires and the victims and all this kind of stuff, horrible look for the National Football League.
You want to feel old for a second?
Yeah.
The Sopranos debuted 26 years ago today, 2001, January 10th. That's crazy.
That's 24 years
ago. Right, yeah, I guess it'd be 26 would be 99.
Yeah, 99. Yeah. I was going to say, I thought it debuted before 2000.
Have
yeah.
you dove into The Sopranos Jeez. Yet, Mac? It's a commitment.
That is top of my list. Oh, it's dude, no, I know,
Every
but I know I'm going
at least
too
an hour.
Long.
It's yeah. seven it seasons.
That's kind of my kind of show, though. Yeah. Writing, yeah. acting, like, I want that, man.
Yeah, you
I'm
watch
in.
Two episodes a night. I mean, that could expedite it, but I mean, obviously, there'll yeah. be some nights where it's like, because what I would do when the football season's over, Sopranos. Yeah, and then dive into The Wire.
I was going to say The Wire's on my list. Those are two top ones. Okay.
Yeah. Sopranos is outstanding. I mean, you talk about like great writing and great TV yeah. shows and character development and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's top of the list.
And there's also a band member, Bruce Springsteen, is one of Tony yeah. Soprano's main guys. I'll never forget this moment in my life because Springsteen did the Super Bowl halftime show at Pittsburgh, Arizona. And
oh my God, I got one for you.
And so I was like, you guys go down, because we went to the casino, and I was like, you guys can go down to the floor. I'm going to watch halftime. And that was right. obviously the when Springsteen did the slide and hit his nuts right into the camera. And my buddy, who's like a huge Sopranos fan, big football player, he's like, damn, that's Jimmy. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, that's the guy from, or not Jimmy, but whatever. What's his name?
Why am I drawing a blank?
Silvio Dante.
Silvio, yeah.
He's like, that's Silvio Dante. I was like, well, yeah, but that's, you know, he goes, nah, man, that's the guy from The Sopranos. He goes, I had no idea. He goes, you mind if I sit here and watch this with you? I was like, go ahead, man. Welcome to Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. So that's all the Bruce Springsteen talk for the day, I promise.
Well, I got one for you. So that's Super Bowl, right? I was there working or whatever the case may be when Bruce Springsteen performed the halftime. And the entertainment act usually does like a press conference on Thursday or whatever. Mm-hmm. They talk to everybody, right? And so I was working in St. Louis at the time, and there was a guy named Howard Balzer, who was basically Mel Kiper Jr. before Mel Kiper Jr. and Mel snaked his job from him at
the
ESPN.
The Manpire.
And so Howard's wife was a big Bruce Springsteen fan, and we dared her to go backstage at the press conference and kiss Bruce Springsteen.
Ooh.
You better believe she did.
Did she know it?
Wow.
I'd have done it for free.
You better believe. Oh, we didn't give her anything. We said we dare you to do it. Okay.
Yeah. A little Stevie Van Zandt, baby. Oh, man.
So you would kiss Bruce Springsteen on a dare?
On the lips.
Yeah, why not?
Remember that story where he took a shot of tequila and then drove off on his motorcycle and they tried to give him a DUI and then it got overturned?
No.
You didn't hear about this? Uh-uh. True story.
One yeah. shot of tequila and they tried
And then he got on his motorcycle and drove off, and some Richard cop immediately came behind him, pulled him over, tried to give him a DUI, and then it got settled out.
Oh,
like, do you know what you're doing? That's the boss.
And it's only one shot.
Yeah, the cop was like, I thought you were born to run, not ride. Either way. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens here on 96.5 The Fan. We come back on the other side. I promise you, we'll get to the playoff football plus. A little later on the show, Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. He'll join us in about an hour from now. So you want to be tuned in here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, at TheFan965, for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
So you can understand that, right?
Yeah, you can understand that.
I want to know if love is wild. I want to know if love is real.
Did somebody say you couldn't understand?
That's like all the haters on Bruce. Like, oh, he just sounds like he's like.
No, that's Rocky.
Yeah, I'm a Screamo fan, so you won't.
Turn me up with Clarence, RIP.
Yeah, what a great, great saxophonist.
He's no Bill Clinton.
He's no Kenny G.
Wrong instrument. You know, Kenny G
plays the saxophone. The soprano saxophone. Oh. Yes, he does.
I thought he played something different.
No, that's the soprano sax. This is the alto sax or the tenor sax that Clarence Clemons is playing, depending on the...
Mac, you want to guess who Bruce Springsteen's saxophonist is now? It's real easy.
Kenny G.
It's the son of Clarence Clemons, his son.
That's right, it is.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's cool.
That's right. Looks just like him as a younger guy. Huge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the big man. 10th Avenue Freeze Out. That'll be our next bump song because that's when the big man joins the band. Shout out to everybody in Kansas City. Be safe. Yep. Obviously, more snow. We're tired of it. We're ready for the beach. We're ready for the pools. We're ready for swim trunks.
This stuff is over, man. Yep. It's done.
Get me out of here.
It is done. And you know it's bad when the kids are over it, too, because kids love a snow day, not a snow week.
Yeah,
especially after 2 weeks of being off.
I kind of comped it to like Thanksgiving week, where you have like your Friendsgiving, then you have your family's house, and then you have either your spouse or your loved one's house, and you're like, dude, I don't want it. It's like you were saying the other month, like you're just like, I'm done with the food. I'm done with like all this family stuff. Like, not saying that we're like jerks to our family, but it's like, I've seen enough people. I've ate enough food. It's done. It's been a week and a half. I don't want to do it anymore. 12 inches of snow followed up by 3 to 4, depending on where you live,
right,
and just over it.
I don't know that anybody north of I-70 really got any snow this morning, though, because I think the line was pretty much like south of I-70. So you got it. I got it. Matt got it. If you're living up in the Northland, I don't think you got it as much as we did, out south. But yeah, I think that's a really good analogy. And I'll even incorporate the entire holiday time, like from like the week before Thanksgiving till like yesterday. Enough. I can't eat anymore. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And then we get 12 inches of snow. Then we get 4 inches of snow, and the kids
get it over with.
Just move on. And so I was looking at the 10-day forecast, snow, ice, and the next.
But wait, there's more.
There's more.
It's coming.
I was hoping it was one of those things, like Kansas basketball fan every February is like, we need a loss. Get it out of our system. I'm hoping like Mother Nature is getting this out of her system now. And we are done with snow, because this stuff ain't going anywhere now. That question we had the other day, is this going to be here by Valentine's Day?
Yes.
Yes.
For
yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Because it's already January 10th and nobody's gone to work. Well, I say that facetiously.
Yeah.
Like school, like all that sort of stuff. And the next thing you know, you're going to turn your head and be like, I got to go get Valentine's Day cards.
Oh, the stuff's up already. Oh, yeah. The stuff is up for Valentine's Day.
Oh, I went to Hy-Vee the other day. I looked over. I was like, oh, they got their cheese stuff out. Never mind. It's all Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I was in a couple years ago, like a Walgreens or a CVS on December 26th, right? Jeez. That's the day after Christmas. And the lady from the card company, whatever they use, Hallmark, American Greetings, is in there taking all the holiday stuff down and putting up the Valentine's Day stuff. Like the next day, I'm like, God, that's just.
Oh, there's people out there that go after the day after Christmas and buy all their decorations. My buddy Alex, his dad, Dave, great guy. That's when he buys all the decorations for the next year. It's like 50, it's like the Halloween candy on the 1st of November.
Yeah.
Just go rack it up, man.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. There's nothing wrong with playoff football either. We are so ready for this. Last night was a good, last night was like the appetizer. The first half, you're like, dude,
that's a hell of an appetizer, though, man.
Because the first half, you're like,
that's
all right.
That's bang, bang, shrimp.
Getting back into the good app.
What is the best appetizer? You guys can weigh in on the text line. Because that's
like from a chain or
anywhere. I don't care. Like you suggested. I'm in for suggestions as well. But
Stewie McBruce's nachos are good because like chicken and beef, and they put it like on a bowl, but like they put queso in the bottom. It's like the white queso. Then they build the chips. Then they put like all the toppings, and then they put more queso on the top. So like by the time you get halfway through it, you get the like hard chip, but you get like that cheese in the bottom. Great appetizer.
That sounds good.
Brussels and cauliflower at Third Street Social or Summit Bar and Grill. And then any sort of smoked salmon dip.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan.
I was watching something about cauliflower the other day on TV, right? Because I think it was like one of the cooking shows on Sunday morning or whatever. And they're like, if you don't like cauliflower, you were raised in the 70s or 80s and ate it wrong. And I'm like, oh, 100%, that was me. Because everybody loves this cauliflower crap. And I'm just like, not going to do it. Because I remember my mother used to just like microwave a bag of frozen cauliflower. It would come out and it was like mush. And it was awful. And
like, I'll never complain if somebody orders like mozzarella sticks or a quesadilla or wings. Like, those are like we always say, play the hits.
Yeah.
Those are the hits. Wings, mozzarella sticks, a spinach artichoke dips, always money in the bank. Shorty, what you drink?
Southwest egg rolls, bro.
Southwest egg rolls.
Southwest egg rolls.
That's your go-to appetizer?
Yes.
So if last, because last
night. Did you just order a meal as an appetizer?
I think he did, yeah. I'll take the Caesar salad and
I had
salmon.
That last night,
but actually, I did as well. See, I went to Jasper. We had a meeting last night for BMA last night, introducing all the new dancers for Dancing with the Stars. And
did you do salmon on top?
I did, It was really good. So good. Yeah.
I love a salmon Caesar.
Right. The best. But Mac will order that, and that'll be his appetizer, not sharing with the table.
Well, when we would get hammered and go to Waffle House, Uber there, my buddy would always order the like patty melt as an appetizer, and he'd cut it like into fourths, and we'd all get like a little square of it.
Oh, nice.
And then we'd get our meal.
Oh. I like it.
Dude, you're on borrowed time at that point.
Yeah. I thought you were like actually acting like smart after drinking. I'm like, that's pretty good. They split a meal good. Oh, that's
no,
the appetizer.
No, we split the patty melt, and then we would get our own meal, which is the All-Star Special, which I'm sure there's people that listen after hours and give you my order every time. Don't eat it now. But then it was like, all right, you've got an hour to get home and release and go to sleep, because that's what Waffle House will do to you. Mm-hmm. But speaking of hours and days, we are one day away from playoff football, and we bring up a question for you if you want to be engaged with this, because we would love that. 913-586-7965. Welcome to Fesco and Dusty with Mac as well on 96.5 The Fan. Best home field advantage is wild card weekend. What say you, Mr. Bob Fesco?
Well, I think there's a couple, obviously. Mm-hmm. Baltimore's an unbelievable home field advantage.
27 degrees, clear skies.
Clear skies.
Meteorologist Mac over here.
Yeah, I like that. Baltimore's fun. I was there for that game where they just absolutely owned Ray Lewis. I mean, it was one of the most incredible games that I've seen in person. Stadium, great atmosphere, fun, rowdy crowd.
I do
crowd.
Like Baltimore Stadium for some reason. I don't know what about it.
Yeah.
I know that's where they played the Replacements movie at.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know what it is about that stadium. It's just cool.
It's cool. It really is. The only problem with Baltimore is, like, most places, there's nowhere to tailgate. They tailgate under, like, bridges and overpasses and stuff. And, like, but that stadium is outstanding. The fan base is going to be ready to go for that one. The Bills thing is going to be really good as well. That's a great home field advantage. And then Philadelphia, man, like that's a great home field as well. So you got three pretty damn good ones right there. But I'm going to lean and I'm going to go to Buffalo on this one, because anytime you get a fan base that's willing to jump through a table that is lit on fire, you win.
You don't like that guy that gets sprayed in the face with mustard and ketchup?
No.
That's a bold move, dude. No. Like, I mean, I've, you know, made ribs before, and I always, you know, put a mustard layer on them before I put anything else. And, like, I will literally scrub my hands, and then, like, 4 hours later, I'll see I still have, like, mustard stains.
Yeah. It's the worst. Like, it's what? Like when you're outside in the dirt, and you can never get the dirt off your hands.
The worst thing I've ever seen is a guy in the kitchen at Jack Stack.
Oh, no,
Lee Summit.
Please don't.
No. He burned his arm on the grill.
Oh!
And they tell you to put, because they have these doors, and you always say, "Door's open," and you open the door, and then you would shut them, and then he turned, and his arm, so what do you have to do to a burn? Mustard.
I've heard that, actually.
So somebody, and if you, he's going to lose it, but they put mustard on his arm and it stings, and then they took a wet rag and wiped it and skin.
Oh!
It's brutal, dude. Brutal.
And then they made him go back to work.
No. He went, he got like that burn cream, wrapped it, went to St. Luke's East and got checked out. I don't know. It was one of the most gnarly things I've ever seen. And then one time this guy pulled the cheesy corn out, and that so hot out of the oven. Brutal story.
Did he drop like a whole pan
of... No, he like lifted it and like turned, and the liquid cheese on top that's like smoldering hot, all down. Remember Rocco? He works over at 98.1 now. Rocco Scarfalo? That was him. Yeah, but I'll ask him about it next time. If you ever see him, he's always here Saturday mornings early, so you'd never see him then. But like literally the cheese went all over his arm, and like literally skin started to bubble. Be safe in the kitchen. Home field advantage. So this is interesting because some of these teams are only going to play one home game, right? Some none. Maybe if the Rams lose, they won't play a home game at all because they're going to be in Arizona. But I think the biggest advantage is Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Because like what you said, like the fans, the atmosphere, and what Mac puts in our rundown, right now there's a 30% chance of snow. But both days on either side, 50% chance of snow with double-digit winds. I'm never worried about snow or rain when a quarterback plays. Wind is the biggest factor.
Yeah.
And
the cannon
is a little bit, you know, quieter when there's wind howling. And look, Buffalo, it seems like this is their year to prove it, right? They've got the MVP. They've got the second best record in the AFC. They want the Chiefs. Don't look too far ahead, Buffalo. Use your advantage of being at home, because in the rundown it says Bills at Bills, which that's interesting. They're playing themselves.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mac. I'm just a jerk sometimes. But no, I think that Buffalo has the biggest home field advantage because it is kind of like the Arrowhead atmosphere, right? Like you said,
it's a juvenile, fun atmosphere. Yeah. It's not an old man sit on your hand atmosphere that you see in places like, I don't know, Tampa, because they're all living in the home.
Right. The other one I think is a huge advantage is Tampa Bay. Because obviously it must be nice, 48, light rain, no wind, like welcome to Tampa. But 48 degrees in Tampa is kind of interesting, right? Like that's kind of chilly,
cold,
right?
Yeah, that's a little
people
cold.
Be in parkas in Tampa, be like, what are you doing?
Well, they won't be there.
Yeah, and that's a good atmosphere, right? You have like, speaking of cannons, you have the guns and all that that go off every time there's like a touchdown or whatever there may be. And this is a game where Baker gets to play at home, and Baker can be dangerous. He said that before. I woke up feeling kind of dangerous, right? Looked like Marv from Home Alone.
Yeah.
And that's a huge advantage for them because Tampa is a team that's kind of scary to me in the NFC. Like, if I'm an NFC team and, like, Tampa comes knocking on my door, it's like, oh, well, they have Baker Mayfield. Well, go look at his numbers this year. Go look at Mike Evans, who's still there. You think Mike Evans is hungry? That guy's done everything in his career to have a playoff run. I know he's won a Super Bowl before, but he's, you know, wanting to solidify more. And they have a little bit of experience in that team. Not a whole lot from some Super Bowl runs, but Mike Evans is there. They have a very, very solid thunder and lightning running back. You know, you got Rashard White, who's from local area. You got Bucky Irving, who turned it on halfway through the season. You throw Mike Evans out there, Kate Otten out there with Baker Mayfield at home in Tampa. I like Tampa Bay as their home field, as a home field advantage. So Buffalo, Tampa, those are my two.
I think I'm glad that game's the Sunday night game, because if I doze off, I'm not going to care. Like, that's the least interesting game of the weekend for
me.
Really? Yeah. Like, again, Washington does nothing for me. I hate their uniforms. I hate their logo. I hate everything about that franchise.
You're going to hate my script then.
I have no interest in that game
Even
whatsoever.
Even with Jaden Daniels, rookie of the year?
Okay. That doesn't matter to me at all. Just two nondescript franchises, in my opinion. I'm so glad that's the Sunday night game, and I'm not gonna, it'd probably turn into a good one, but I'm glad that's the Sunday night game and not like tomorrow night or Sunday afternoon. Like, that's the one that I'm like, if I had to take one off the board, that would be it for me, because I think the other ones are really compelling. Obviously, we've got, you know, a lot of AFC West teams taking place in this postseason. Just to let everybody know, on the national level again, the AFC West was pretty damn good this year. So I'm always going to be a fan of the games that involve the teams that we play and beat to win the AFC West. So there's a lot of that this year. Packers-Eagles, I think, is going to be good. The Chargers Houston game, very interesting because of what's going on out in Los Angeles and the impact that's going to have. The Rams having to move their game. Like, there's just nothing interesting about Commanders at Bucks for me.
Do you think the Chargers are going to be affected by the travel and everything? Because it's in Houston, obviously.
It is. Okay. They were traveling anyway. But I think I just put myself in that, and I think as a human being, like, if this was going on right now in our city, like, how would we all be reacting, man? Would you be focused on your job and what you needed to do?
Is Herbert a California kid? Because I know he went to Oregon, but I don't know if he's from the West Coast.
He seems like he is. He seems definitely like he is.
I think he is a Cali kid. Because I know Goff's a California kid, went to Cal.
He went to Cal, yeah.
Another quarter. Like, that's where I dive into. Because, like, some of those guys that, like, just play football there, they're not as affected as the guys that, like, grew up there. Right?
Yeah.
Like Herbert and...
Born in Eugene, Oregon.
Yep.
Okay.
I thought he was from... I guess he's West Coast, but...
Yeah, West Coast.
Yeah, Northwest.
Yeah, so he's obviously not California, but still, I mean, you're playing there. You're living there. Your family's there. I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. I think it's going to be tough for both the Rams and Chargers to compartmentalize, because all week you've been dealing with potentially evacuating your family, evacuating yourselves, doing all this kind of stuff that matters in life. Oh, and by the way, you got to go prepare for a playoff game on the road. Chargers knew they were going on the road, and now the Rams know. All of a sudden, a home playoff game is now on the road. It shifts everything. We know how creatures of habit these guys are in professional sports, and God forbid one thing goes left instead of right, and they lose their minds. But that's kind of how this affects things. I'm very interested to see the performance of both the Rams and Chargers this weekend.
Both of which have experienced head coaches, which I think helps a lot in these sorts of situations.
Sure it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure it does.
Unknown. You've got anxiety. You've got lots of different things. He's like, hey, I've done this for 20 years. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to help you. Don't worry, man.
Yeah, but this is like something we've never ever seen before. Like, this is just a situation that nobody in that area is immune from right now, right? Just because you played in the NFL doesn't mean you're immune from these wildfires. I mean, that's why I keep going back to this J.J. Redick thing. Losing his house tells you that's hitting the area where obviously a lot of athletes and famous people and, you know, whatnot live, the big homes out there. And how many people on the Rams and Chargers are kind of dealing with this and trying to figure out ways to deal with real life and then go play a football game.
Speaking of pressure, who's got the most pressure for you guys when it comes to a quarterback in this playoff round?
Are we talking just this weekend, or are we talking?
I would say this weekend. We can dive into it more once everybody's been fizzled out and we have the real playoffs start in 2 weeks.
And then next week. Of this weekend's playoff games, the easy answer is Lamar, right? That's the easy answer.
Not in my opinion.
But I'm going to go with an answer that I think is a little bit more. I honestly, right now, the pressure this week's on Sam Darnold. After having that stink performance the other night against Detroit on national television, everybody's looking at Sam Darnold right now like that kid from Penn State going, he's got it. And so I think for him, it's important to go out there, because not only is winning on the line, payday is on the line for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a big bonus if he wins a playoff game, because I'm sure that was like, considering what his...
Sure, we'll give you $1 million if you win a playoff game.
And then Uncle Sam will take half, or 60%. I think it's Josh Allen. Look, I'm not hard on Josh Allen.
What?
I'm tough with Josh Allen, because this is his year. This is the year that Josh Allen is the MVP. This is a game where if you want to be that guy, you play the Denver Broncos, who I think is a good team, but they're with a rookie quarterback coming into your house that we just spent time talking about when it comes to their stadium and how crazy it can be. And this is a game where you're supposed to lock this up quickly, efficiently, and move on.
Yeah.
I get it. Dusty, it's playoff football. Everybody in these playoffs are good. We're going to be back on Monday, and I guarantee you I'm going to get clowned on, because there's going to be like four, five maybe blowout games.
Could be a lot of blowouts this
week. Just like in college football in the first round, yeah, there were blowout games everywhere. But again,
do we really need to increase the playoff field then?
No. Denver, right? Denver is an 8.5-point dog against Buffalo. Buffalo is this team that, you know, they have their sights set on the AFC Championship game in Arrowhead against Kansas City Chiefs. That's what they want. That's what they may get. And if they do that,
but you know what happens when you do that?
When you look ahead, you get a little shaky. Yep. And now I know the regular season's awesome and the regular season's fun because you've always got some other week to back up on. But again, this is the playoffs. The clock moves quicker. Players are more, you know, adapt to the surroundings. Everything is different. The lights are brighter. And this is a game where I think there's a lot of pressure on Josh Allen because, hey, man, everyone thinks this can be your year where you can actually challenge Patrick Mahomes, because you essentially did what Patrick Mahomes did after they got rid of Tyreek Hill. Nobody knew your wide receivers. You had your main target, and you just kind of put the team on your back and won the MVP.
Sure.
You want to be in that conversation? You want to get to that battle again to face him for the fourth time in the playoffs? You got to take care of business. You got a rookie quarterback coming into your house where you could say, not yet, kid. Still me. Not kid. Yeah. But like, it's not you yet. This is Buffalo. This is what we're known for. Sit back and watch us put on a show. And I think there's a lot of pressure with Josh Allen there. And I think it's, you know, Denver's got a good defensive line. They got good pressure. Can Josh Allen be, you know, contained? I don't know.
What?
I know that I'm hard. I said on Josh Allen.
Well, nobody knows that. I mean, that's what we heard right there.
Subjective.
I think obviously there's a lot of pressure on Josh Allen.
I like
Allen,
the
right?
Lamar take, but again, people will give him an excuse because Zay Flowers is
Zay playing. Flowers
and
is
I'm
playing.
Not hearing
yeah.
that. No.
Yeah. Okay.
We watched Mahomes with Kadarius Toney, Marquez Valdez Scantling on the road. Do it.
Those Lamar, are good wide receivers, though.
Yeah. Miss me with that. Lamar.
What did Zay Flowers do last year in the playoffs?
Oh, that's right. He flexed and then fumbled.
What did MVS do last year in the playoff? Iced a game.
He had a great game.
Against those Ravens. Poor MVS, man. He had a touchdown taken away that would have been an incentive.
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
You're a two-time, maybe three-time MVP. Win this game. Win this game at home.
So
I don't care that your wide receiver's out.
Okay, yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I don't want to hear that excuse.
You say Darnold, I say Allen?
Yeah. I'm fine with any of those three. Yeah, I'd go Lamar, though.
Is there any pressure on C.J. Stroud?
No.
So their house money.
I'll get to it in my script.
I don't know that they're house money. I just don't think people care. Just being honest with you, who cares about the Texans?
We know they're bad. That's part of
Who's got more pressure out of these three quarterbacks? C.J. Stroud, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels.
Oh, I don't think any of them have any pressure.
Really? I guess C.J., but none of them really.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't think any of them really do.
Is that dangerous or is that good?
No, it's dangerous because they don't care. You know, they're just out there slinging it. Like, I want to get back to your Buffalo take here for a second, because I do think Sean Payton is the better head coach in that game. The man has won a Super Bowl. The man has won a lot of playoff games. The man has dominated for a very long time. Sean McDermott has not, right? Sean McDermott has not been around as long as Sean Payton has. Now, I still think Sean Payton should have won more than one Super Bowl, but as Patrick Mahomes continues to rack these up, how many people are going to get an opportunity, you know, to win Super Bowls? But I think having Sean Payton on that sideline is a really big factor. And also, you mentioned Bo Nix not a kid. I think that plays in as well, too, because he's older. And, you know, you're not 21, 22 years old. You're 29, 30, however old Bo Nix is right now.
24.
With a Super Bowl-winning head coach alongside. Like, I don't think Bo Nix is going to go in there and be like, oh, my God, this is the playoffs. I think Sean Payton and that staff in Denver is going to have him ready. And we'll get to it in the script later. But I do think one of the Chargers or the Bills, I think one of those two teams is going to lose this weekend. I think there will be an upset in one of those two games, whether it's Denver beating Buffalo or whether it's Houston beating the Chargers. I think we're going to see an upset in one of those games, because the Chargers thing, to me, I'm just still with the fires. And I don't know, man. There's just something about Sean Payton and that experience that I think matches up well with Buffalo.
Do you have sad violin music you can cue up?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill announces he's going to be traded again?
No. You just let me know when you're ready to push play.
Give me one second.
Okay. You're going to hate this.
Okay.
Hey, you might like it.
Mm.
Somebody finally likes you and not me.
Oh.
All right, here we go.
Got it?
Yep.
Friday afternoon. I'll bring this up again. But early on a Friday morning, we have been poised from the text line, from the 620. Come to the King, don't miss, baby. I have tried many, many times from the 620. I cannot connect with this show anymore. Bob and Josh was the best radio team in the city for many years. Those guys pulled me through a lot of dark days. RIP to Fesco in the morning. I find it very similar to the day that ruined the Don Fortune show.
Oh, my God.
It's like Bob has taken a backseat on his own show. Hang in there, Bob. Last time I checked, it was called Fesco and Dusty. Hey, 620, I hope you have a great Friday. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your life. And I'm sorry, but you don't want to listen to any other show because I can tell you for a fact, people are listening.
People are listening. No, we're number one. I'll just put it that way.
Oh. What was that?
Whoa. Really?
You want to say that in my other ear, Ace? I think you... Okay. Sorry, 620. But in all respect...
I mean...
Kiss my ass. Coming up on the other side of 96.5.
This is why I don't read the text.
You got to.
You don't. It's a sewer pit.
I cannot connect with this show.
How old are you? You referenced Don Fortune. Like, so that tells me like you've been around for a long time, and I appreciate that, and I love you for it.
Yeah.
I just got to say... kind of liking life right now.
Okay. I appreciate that. I'm loving life right now. Hang in there. Maybe that guy can get a trophy for the saddest violin song ever. Coming up, Micah Parsons wants a trophy that he's not going to be around for, let alone anybody in Dallas will be. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, and some other jag here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Stay focused, Dusty. I'll do my best. I hope everybody has a great day. I hope everybody stays kind.
What was that word you used?
Stays kind. I'll no longer tell people to kiss my ass. It's not nice. It's contradicting to what I say at the end of every show, so I apologize. I'll do better. I just find it also annoying that people can literally pull over to the side of the road and type something of hate. So let's do better, Dusty. We will. Thanks for all the support as well from the other people on the show. If I'm not going to focus on one, I can focus on all. I think you guys are the best. Bob, Dusty, and Matt, crack me up. Thank you for getting me through my morning with side splitting. I don't know what that means.
Side splitting humor?
I guess.
I don't know.
Oh, hilariousness. You the best. Thank you.
Don't text us this morning if you're out driving, yeah, because the roads aren't great. At least they weren't a couple hours ago. I don't know what they are now.
Yeah. But sorry for the people that continuously aren't really fans. I can't.
That's right. There's nothing you can do. You got to move on. You can't worry about the people who don't like you, right? You got to just move on and say, hey, sorry. Can't please everybody.
And just do your thing.
You know, you just can't. I mean,
yeah. If you fight your whole life trying to please everyone, you're going to live a miserable life.
Yeah.
Speaking of miserable life, Dallas Cowboys fans and Dallas Cowboys players, Micah Parsons said this.
For the people that kept believing, because we're not done yet. We are not done yet, and I hope that
we're done yet.
It's going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing thing to see next year when we're holding the trophy.
Big
goals, but I'm telling y'all right now, it's holding the trophy. I'm saying my prayers out loud. I'm saying my goals out loud so y'all can hear them. You know, we're going to be holding a trophy up next year.
I would do more than say it out loud. I'd get back in there and hope everybody stays healthy. You get a better general manager, a different owner, and stop signing every geriatric player out there in the world, and you'll be okay.
Right. Look, I don't even know if Micah Parsons is going to be a Dallas Cowboy next year. Let alone, I don't know if Mike McCarthy's going to be a Dallas Cowboy in six days.
That situation, guys, I don't know what you think about it. Like, I believe he's coming back, and if he doesn't end up back in Dallas and Jerry didn't let him interview with the Bears mm-hmm. I mean, what kind of guy is Jerry Jones at that point?
Unless
you know?
Jerry already knows who's taking over for Mike, and it's just some underground story that we don't know yet. But to me, this lets me know that at least in my opinion, he is coming back.
Because I think so too, yeah.
If you haven't done it yet, which, again, Jerry Jones, I mean, what's new, kind of goes at his own pace, does things differently, says that they're going to wait for the last leaf to fall, that sort of stuff, and then pay Dak, pay CeeDee Lamb.
The problem. You're waiting for the last leaf to fall, and then you're paying people too late.
Exactly. And then your quarterback goes out for the season.
Right.
Which, by the way, I think last time Dak Prescott missed a season – last time the guy that got elected
and the Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So are we living in a
We're living in that universe.
So I look forward to. But yeah, he says raise a trophy. Dallas isn't going to win a trophy next year.
Look, I'll be honest with you. And I ask you guys this question. Who wins a trophy first? The guy in New England or the guy in Dallas? Because both of those guys clearly are in their 80s right now, and they're pushing to get a Super Bowl. One more before, you know, their time's up. And Jerry's talked about that. I mean, obviously, Robert Kraft in his 80s has talked about that. If you were a betting guy and could bet on something like this, do you think the Patriots or Cowboys, do you think either of them are set up to win a Super Bowl anytime soon?
I would say Dallas, because Patriots are never going to win that division as long as Josh Allen's there. And if they do, they're not going to beat Patrick Mahomes. And the Cowboys have a better chance because they don't have to go through the AFC.
Yeah, I think from that standpoint, like, you don't have to go through Mahomes. Okay, you have a better opportunity. I just don't believe in either one of those owners. The Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft situations are very identical. Both of them caught lightning in a bottle with one or two individuals, and they utilized those individuals. Jimmy Johnson in Dallas and Tom Brady in New England. Without those two guys, Dallas doesn't have any championships since the 70s. I guarantee you that. And New England has probably moved at this point in time because they were close to moving in 1995 until Robert Kraft bought the team. So they were actually getting ready to move to St. Louis. And
he like stocked them into letting him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he
bought all the land around the stadium.
Bought the stadium. Yeah. Had this lease with. It's a great story.
It's a great story.
It really is a great story. Yeah. Somebody from St. Louis by the name of, I think Bush is the name from St. Louis.
Augie?
Yeah. They owned the Patriots for 1 year and were getting ready to move them to St. Louis. And Robert Kraft owned the stadium and wouldn't let the team out of the lease. And the Bush family's like, ah, screw this.
Yeah, whatever.
So they sold the team to Robert Kraft. Ipso facto, here we sit. And they became this dynasty. But I think both of those guys have already seen the championships that they're going to see for their organization. Because I don't think either of them are set
Jerry's
up to do
fine.
It.
He won three, dude. Like, he should have retired
30 years ago now.
I don't care. He still won three titles, man. Yeah. Like, you can't replace history.
The winningest, one of the winningest owners ever. So yeah. He's probably fine. I would go with Kraft having the better chance just because I really like Drake May. But I get what Dusty's saying, too. You don't want to be in the AFC. I don't think the Cowboys are anywhere close.
I mean, that's why the Lions are the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because they don't have to go through Patrick Mahomes until the inevitable, and there's a chance that Patrick Mahomes could lose.
Sure.
Here's the deal. Micah Parsons, fake trophy, but have you ever – like, what's the greatest trophy or prize you ever won?
I mean, I did get second place in the Seguin, Texas pie-eating contest.
Nice.
Did you lose to Lardass?
I don't remember who it was, honestly. It was 1999.
You laugh, but I know you don't get that reference.
It's fine.
Stand by me. That's a great scene.
Lardass.
Eats blueberry pie and then ralphs it all over everybody.
Everybody.
Make fun of me again. See what happens.
I think it was just like chocolate and whipped cream, or maybe it was just whipped cream in a tin
But
like, I got a little medal for it. Nice. I think I still have it somewhere.
Really?
Binkley is very jealous of this. Like, I get texts from him at least two or three times a year. Remember when you won that pie eating contest in Seguin? Like, it was second, okay? And it was 26 years ago. But yes, I still remember.
You like pie? You have a prize or a trophy that you won?
I'd say Wyoming Associated Broadcasters Award. I won a couple there when I was doing stuff, producing some commercials and a sports show.
Nobody else entered?
Yeah, that's probably true.
I kid.
Yeah, but for a sports show and a commercial. So yeah, probably
does. Cool, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I will say this. I know this is going to make me sound like a nerd, but I want back-to-back fantasy titles in my fantasy league. And
coming up here on 96.5 The Fan.
I will be right back.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.